Hi, this is John O'Hare from Clear Lake, Iowa. And this episode is brought to you by Ivy Envy Patreon supporters like me. Learn more at patreon.com/IvyEnvy. Next!
Hi, and thanks for downloading this episode of the Ivy Envy podcast. It is July 5th. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and joining me through a Google Plus Hangout, the other two hosts of this podcast.
Hi, it's Andy.
And Kurt.
Before we get going here, I've mentioned that I'll be doing a meetup in Southern California and Denver later this month. Andy and Kurt, you guys will not be in attendance.
You never know. We could pop up. All of a sudden, when you least expect it,
baked, right? Rolling into Denver.
Oh man, I was going to make a Dumb and Dumber joke, and then I decided it was too stupid to make it. So I'm just going to.
We do have a certain sense of restraint.
So the Southern California one is on Tuesday, July 21st, and it will be during the Cubs Reds game. That afternoon, evening, I guess, out, you know, in East Coast or Cincinnati time, but it's afternoon in California. We don't have a location yet, and so we'll get that figured out. If you're interested, just shoot me an email. And then a few days later, that Friday night, July 24th, I will be in Denver, and we'll have a group going to the Rockies game that night. They're playing the Reds, so I guess we'll be watching the Reds twice that week. Michael from Colorado, he said that they have a patio area, and you can buy tickets the day of the game for that patio area. And I think he said that tickets are like $19, and then you get like a $10 voucher for food and drinks. So pretty good deal, I guess. Like $10 tickets for Major League Baseball, that's pretty good. So if you have questions about either of those meetups and you're interested, you can email me, Corey, C-O-R-E-Y, at ivnv.com. So we'll get into Cubs talk. The Cubs ended up sweeping the Mets. We kind of recorded before that last game of the series. So swept the Mets for the season. That's a nice sweep. And then they beat the Marlins in the series, this weekend series, 2-1. Isn't it kind of nice to be slumping and go 5-1?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, because the offense has been struggling. Well, it's kind of been streaky, but, you know, they're winning games where they're clearly struggling.
Yeah.
So if everything's clicking, I mean, just goes to show how scary this team could be.
Yeah. That's a good point. And I mean, you guys don't feel like this slump is over yet, right? I mean...
Well, I mean, it started to feel like it after the grand slam by Bryant in Saturday's game. You know, and that seems like the kind of event that could kind of really rub off on everybody else. But then it continued into today, it seems like. And I was disappointed to look at the box score later in Saturday's game after I pretty much stopped paying attention after the third inning. I was like, man, they could really tear it up, you know, or really pile on here. And then... they didn't do anything after Bryant's grand slam.
That was actually the last hit of the game, wasn't it, for the Cubs?
I believe so,
they
yeah.
They did not register a hit after that grand slam.
Yeah, I mean, same thing. I wasn't really paying that much attention to the game, you know, having fun, celebrating freedom and independence. And
America.
Yeah. And, you know, the Cubs were up big, and we listened to that part on the radio. And then, as pathetic as this sounds, I was laying awake in my tent at 2:30 in the morning, and I started thinking about the game, and I was like, 7 runs? They scored 7 runs? Well, Bryant knocked in 6, so that's not a good sign. And then this morning, I looked at my phone, and someone emailed me, texted me, tweeted me, Facebook messaged something. Someone did. Now I can't find it, but they pointed out that the Cubs didn't score after the second inning and that they only had 4 hits total. So you take away Bryant's two home runs, and Fowler and Denorfia were the only two other hits. So to me, it still feels like they're slumping. But the nice thing is that a slump like this is okay. Well, first off, the pitching staff is like carrying them through this stretch.
Tearing it up.
Right. But when you look at a game like Saturday's game, that's why you need those players. You know, that's why guys like Chris Bryant are so valuable, and Anthony Rizzo. Like, you need those guys that can like put the team on their back and carry them to victory. When everyone else is slumping, it's not like, oh, well, everybody's slumping except for one guy, and it's Matt Caesar. Like, okay, that's not going to do us much good. But when you have everybody slumping except for one guy, and you have a lineup with so many guys that can have a huge impact on a single game, you know, then getting through these games is a little more likely, I guess.
Yeah, it's nice to have more than one guy that can do that, or maybe two in past seasons.
Or now, it really could be a lot of pressure off of Rizzo, you know, for once.
Yeah,
to have to be the Messiah.
Yeah,
although it would be nice to see him turn it around, get back on track.
Yeah, apparently everything's not magical for Chris Bryant or for Rizzo right now.
Yeah, he's just got sliding down, but not
other than continue. Yeah, that was magic. But
see him say that was was magic? Yeah, like, he looked at over at the dugout and said,
"It's magic.
It's magic.
It's magic." But yeah, other than, you know, everything's been going terrible for him, other than he's still and then he's also continuing to be hit by pitches a lot.
No, he's one away from breaking the season record for the Cubs.
Really?
Yes, he's one more hit by pitch, and he's got the season record
total. Oh, man, there was your scary stat.
Yeah, well, yeah, I suppose, but
that's crazy. Yeah. So he got hit twice in this Marlins series, right? I think he did.
So maybe he got it, and that stat, because I heard one of the announcers say it. Maybe it was Len or JD, but yeah, maybe he's hit it at this point. But
yeah,
brutal.
Yeah, well, and another player that can kind of do the same things that, you know, as far as carrying the team is with Rizzo and Bryant and players like that. I mean, Soler's back now, and so there you have another guy that has that potential. So, I'm really glad that Soler's back. We threw a party out here this weekend, and our friend John, he's a Patreon supporter of this podcast, and he was listening to the Cubs game on the way out, and he said that you might have to help me get this right, Andy, but Pat said something about how it's really nice to have Soler back because, what did he say? Something about the heart of the heart of the order is really strengthened when he's there, or something like that. And then Coom Dog came in and said, well, he is the heart of the order, Pat.
He just basically like an echo. He was being an echo. Yeah. So, adding that insight. You know, I will say he did say something other than I would have to agree with you, Pat. He said, that is an accurate assessment, Pat. I heard him say that. So he's like finding new words. His lexicon is expanding. I think he's getting better.
I see Coomdod like going back to the hotel room when they're on the road, having like a scratch, you know, like the hotel scratch pad of paper, and like trying to figure out different ways to say, I would have to agree with you.
Oh, concur. That's a good one.
And somebody's going to find that note in the hotel room and tweet it out. Check out this note of,
oh, look at, I agree. Like he's got a star next to that. That's an accurate assessment.
Oh, we're in accord on that one. We're in accord on that one.
Oh, man.
I did last, you know, when we were sitting around listening to it on Saturday, though, I did hear him say, I would have to agree with you.
Yeah, he's going to go back to it.
It's going to rear its ugly head. Yeah. Like any good verbal tick.
Oh, man. But I don't know. It's awesome that Soler's back, and hopefully he can kind of jump in and be a little bit of a spark plug for the team offensively.
Yeah, heck yeah, because they could use it. They just need more than one person to come to life here on offense.
Yeah. Anything else you guys want to talk about with this Marlins series or even going back to the Mets series?
Yeah, this is worth repeating that people are – I see a lot of muscle flexes about how bad the offense is, but I mean, you can't lose sight of just how good the pitching has been.
Yeah, it has been incredible.
Yeah, that's why, like, today I tweeted out or put it on Facebook, you know, like, I don't – like, I think we can get past the whole this bullpen is weak or this rotation is weak. Like, this rotation is probably not ideal – for if this was the last day of the season and they were heading into the playoffs, then the rotation is probably not ideal. But as far as this season goes, I think they will strengthen both of those things. But so many people are talking like this is just a disaster. I mean, like this especially as of late, this bullpen has been crazy good.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Jason Mott is pitching really well right now. Like, that's that's crazy in and of itself.
You didn't expect that.
Yeah, they seem to keep finding these guys who, like, maybe towards the end of their career but still have some stuff left, and then they get here and they just, for whatever reason, turn it on. I mean, it's...
Since I brought up Mott, going back to Coombdog, tonight or this afternoon's game, I heard him call Mott Motter. I was like, come on. I hate that, adding ER to players' names. And I was like, that does not work on a player like Mott. You know? Motter.
Why not? Motter.
Doesn't he like to throw the Y on the end of stuff?
Motty. Yeah.
Yeah, Motty's like Motty's pretty bad.
Maybe Rizzy. That's what I swear is he said Motter, though. And I was just like, my gosh. Like, I just pictured like
Chaucer.
It's kind of like sacrilegious, but like Mater, I don't know, you know, like Mater Day and stuff like that. I just pictured like this like Catholic like like statue of Jason Mott, you know, as like the Virgin Mary.
This has gotten weird.
If somebody could design a t-shirt, Ivy Envy, with like Jason Mott as the Virgin Mary.
What? How are we going to come back from this?
I don't know. We've offended so many people. There's no coming back from this.
I don't know. Well, hey, I grew up a Catholic. Come on.
No, I don't know whether I'm supposed to be offended or not. So it's over my head.
Anyway, all right.
But anyway, to kind of bring it back, I remember on Friday's broadcast, Ron was saying just how easy it would be for the Cubs to look past the Marlins series. And it's one of those series where it's not a rival. And so there's not the natural adrenaline that you might have when the Cardinals are in town and things like that.
Right.
But this is the kind of series that the Cubs have to focus on and have to take care of business on. And so I was kind of worried that they were just going to kind of let their performance slide for this series. They didn't play complete games, you know, that's for sure, but they found a way to win the series after it got off to kind of a dubious beginning. So I think that's a good sign, and hopefully they, you know, there's some momentum from the series win going into the Cardinals series.
I'd have to agree.
I think I understand that the bullpen is not going to pitch like this forever, but it does, and not that like my mental state has anything to do with the success of this team, but I think like say they do get into the playoffs, you need a bullpen that makes like this is the way that they've been playing now, even if I guess what I'm trying to say is like it would give me more confidence in those like very close playoff games. When you've seen a bullpen play and pitch the way that they have, and maybe does something for them to give them the confidence to know that, look, this, and they're not going to continue this the whole season, but maybe just to have this like really successful stretch of relief pitching, may be good for the team. Well, it's obviously good for the team, but I mean, it may be good for the team's
confidence.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I kind of like this sort of like mixing it up, hot hand late in games too. So, you know, a lot of guys are picking up saves and.
Well, and I think
Rondon still leads, but Mott's got, I think, four now. And
I think that kind of lays the groundwork for, like, say, a Papelbon or something like that. Mm-hmm. Then you're not demoting Rondon. That if you've kind of done this, like, closer by committee thing for a while, then you can slide the person in if you happen to bring in someone like a Papelbon or someone else that you want to close, then you can slide them in that way.
Yeah, but I do still kind of, I mean, I don't know. I guess probably I like it because it's working.
Right.
Yeah. If it weren't, I wouldn't. But
you'd be flexing all over.
Yeah, but there's something nice about the idea that whoever is good right now is going to get the ball late in games.
Yeah, yep. Just as far as this Marlins series goes, and this is not like necessarily a baseball-related topic, but did you guys happen to see the Harry Carey 7th inning stretch on the board, which I think a lot of fans have been kind of calling for, that would be a lot more tolerable than
it's
what
about
they,
time.
Yeah,
I did see it. Did you guys actually were you able to see it?
No, your
party.
No, and I was listening on the at bat app, so I think.
Did you get to hear Dempster?
No.
Mm-mm. Oh, no, I was gonna say yeah. So Dempster did his Harry impression to kick it off. So it was Dempster and Ricketts standing next to each other with a giant beer in their hands. And then it went to Harry on the board. So that was the Harry on the board thing I was super pumped about because, you know, everybody's heard us complain a little bit about the celebrity 7th inning
stretch. Guest conductors.
They're either good enough or they're horrible. And to me, that's not enough to keep it. But I think those aren't going anywhere, but it was really cool to see. Like I was really excited. Probably more than I should have been.
I bet the fans were really excited by it too.
Yeah. It was really awesome, actually. So I hope they keep it, but I kind of think it's a special occasion kind of thing.
And that's better than nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it outside of the Dempster impression, which was actually pretty bad.
Although I wouldn't be shocked if like people really liked it. And they kind of increased the frequency of it. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe a couple of years down the road, kind of phase out the guest conductors. Maybe. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't know.
But yeah.
At least every once in a while would be a good thing.
Yeah, it was a good use of the giant video board, that's for sure. Because they had the video going and everything, so.
Yeah. And still, I would, even if they didn't do that, even if that was like kind of a rare occurrence, man, just let Pat do it or let Len do it every day and then just
start a new tradition. If it's going to be something, start a new one or something.
Right.
Rather than that. Yeah. I think we've gone on record plenty of times that we're just not fans of the guest.
Well, and I don't think anybody is. I've never met anybody that said that they like that. And I mean, I don't really know how business works, but are they, I mean, are the Cubs getting money?
I kind of wondered that too.
From like, this,
if somebody's got a new movie coming out and they do it, is that company paying the Cubs?
Right, and if they are, it can't be that much money.
No.
And so I think that the Cubs would. It's not like there were a lot of people objecting to like the video board and stuff like that, and it's like, well, here is what we can do if we do that. You know, here's all the benefits of it, and here's some fans that hate it now, but will probably accept it later. There's that. And then there's, okay, we have somebody up in the booth for, you know, a half inning on radio and TV. And I don't know. It just seems like it would be a good thing if that was being phased out.
Yeah.
Anything else about this Marlins series before we move on?
I think that's it for me.
Oh, and just one last note. The Marlins uniforms are still terrible.
Yeah, well, I've been listening to everything on the radio, so
I can't stand them. But
actually jumped and did a crazy fist pump when I heard the Bryant Grand Slam. I was surprised at my physical reaction.
I'm sorry, I missed that
enthusiasm.
I don't know what I'd done. I'd gone around to the front of the house or something, and I came back and somebody told me that he had hit it.
Then there was an exchange of high fives. It was pretty fun.
Yeah, that was one of those moments where, like, I was actually sitting down watching the game, one of few times when I can actually just watch a game. I get up to go to the bathroom, kind of really, like, I don't know why that happened. Maybe my son needed something. It was one of those things where, like, you can't really ignore it. You have to go. And I come back, and my wife was sitting in there, like, reading a book or something. She's like, I think he just hit a grand slam. I was like, yes, he did.
That happens to me a lot, where I miss the most exciting moments of the game.
Yeah. And it wasn't off an outfielder.
I know.
He had a real grand slam. Well, it is.
I went back. Thankfully, MLB TV let me move back and watch it four times. So
I had fireworks on the mind, so I was just really happy that it happened. And I kind of thought about going in and trying to watch the replay or something like that, but.
I watched the replay a few times today since I had just heard it.
The At-Bat app is actually good for that kind of stuff because they give you the good replays. And you.
I stream it to the TV, too.
Yeah.
But, man, that first home run he hit was way more impressive. He killed that.
Like, watching that in slow-mo, the way the bat, like, contacts it and the absolute perfect position. Oh, man, that was amazing. Just crushed it.
Yeah, absolutely. That was the thing of beauty. But the At-Bat for the Grand Slam was pretty good. Granted, the pitcher's under a lot of pressure there as he just took 3-0.
Yeah.
And then
you said, Andy, that you jumped, your physical reaction, the pitcher did the same thing. So, I don't know if you saw that in the replay, but Ryan hits it, he kind of jumps and is like, oh, you could tell he knew it was gone.
So you were out of the room when it happened, but somebody mentioned at the camp out that they heard that JD said on the 3-1 pitch or JD was asked if he had the green light here, and he said the light's so green it's bathed in lime juice or something like that.
I did not hear that.
So I don't know if that's true, but it's pretty amusing if it is.
I heard him make a 3-0 joke earlier in the game, but yeah, so that doesn't surprise me.
But okay, so not a bad way to slump. 5-1. That's a good slump. But they have a really big week coming up. The Cubs do 4 against the Cardinals, including a makeup game of that second game of the season. That
playing was, 2 Tuesday.
Yeah. That was the porta potty game. The porta potty postponement.
I don't know if you guys know this, but Corey calls them porty potties.
Corey works a lot of construction, so he pees in a lot of porty potties.
So 4 against the Cardinals, 3 against the White Sox, all of them at home. So yeah, it'd be nice to go into the All-Star break on a roll against two teams that we'd really like to see the Cubs beat.
Yeah, for sure.
So
Cardinals, eh?
Yeah. So moving on, I guess it looks like maybe the Don Roach era is over.
It's possible.
I do want to clarify, though, that I liked Roach because of his name. I did not think that he was that good. His numbers in AAA were misleading. I understand that. I just like the name. Go on.
And he's he's back in AAA for now. But on Saturday, Clayton Richard became the 2,000th player to don a Cubs uniform as the fifth spot in the rotation came around again. And that darn thing keeps showing up, that dang fifth spot in the rotation. It's just always there, you know. Richard is a 31-year-old pitcher trying to make a comeback after some significant setbacks injury-wise. He had 2 left shoulder surgeries in the past couple of years. And most recently, he had his thoracic outlet syndrome surgery. And I don't know if you guys know, but when you get some stuff up in that thoracic outlet, you got to get that stuff cleaned out of there because it's important to keep your thoracic outlet clear. But anyway, the Cubs obtained him from the Pirates for cash because he had this upward mobility clause in his contract. So there was going to be a window where the Pirates had to add him to their big league roster, or he was going to be made available to other teams who are willing to put him on their big league roster. And so that's how the Cubs got him from the Pirates. But this guy has actually had some success in the bigs. He recently had some pretty good seasons as a starter for the Padres. 14 wins in 2010 and 2012. But the Padres really put a lot of miles on him. In 2010, he had 201.2 innings pitched. And in 2012, he had 218.2 innings pitched.
As a starter.
Yeah, and so a big surprise that these injuries showed up. But
that'll fill up your thoracic.
Yeah, your thoracic outlet will really just get a lot of gunk and stuff up in there. It needs to be cleaned out. But he, you know, all that was while maintaining a sub-4 ERA for the Padres. So, I mean, he's shown himself to be effective, but then, you know, he's had these pretty significant things that derailed all that. So I guess the question, you know, is there, will he continue to be the fifth man? He pitched well in his outing. He only gave up 2 runs. He showed some pretty good stuff that kept hitters off balance. And so a couple things on that. The Cubs have the opportunity to skip the fifth spot in the rotation before the All-Star break. I should mention that because of an off day. So they might do that. But as far as continuing to be the fifth man, WADA is getting a rehab start tomorrow in Tennessee. So he's working his way back. The doubleheader on Tuesday could lead to another Roach start, much to Corey's delight because he loves him and he thinks he's an amazing pitcher. I think if Roach, you know, were to get another look and pitch well, you know, he could weasel his way back into the fifth man. But a couple other options on the 40-man for that doubleheader start on Tuesday as well. Dallas Buehler, for example. Eric Jokisch, maybe. But I don't know. It'd be cool if the Cubs gave Clayton Richard another shot, you know, another looks to see if he could continue.
Based on that performance, he's probably earned himself at least another start.
Sure, I think so too. I wouldn't be surprised to see what happened, to see him be back in there the next time that that spot comes up.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to throw in a little known fact. Did you know he played quarterback for Michigan back in the day, like the mid-2000s?
No, I did not know that.
No, I didn't either.
Well, there you go. Yeah, he battled Chad Henne for the starting job back in like 2004.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's a former quarterback. Surprised you didn't
know. Jay, well, yeah, me too, because I'm kind of an expert. But he was drafted by the White Sox in 2005. We all keep coming up with little facts.
No, that's all we know. I'm just reading his Wikipedia page. So,
but as I was looking for muscle flexes, I saw a guy on Facebook. He wrote, "Clayton Richards, ex White Sox, pitches a gen yesterday." capital J-E-N. This guy must have a lot of people named Jen that he texts because it auto-corrected Jem to Jen with an N. I thought that was great.
It's a special lady friend.
Not good enough to save to the end of the program for a muscle flex, but I enjoyed that.
So we, at IVMV, we don't blog very often. Our website is mainly a landing spot for the podcast. But we do have a blog piece that we think is pretty important, and it's coming out tomorrow. Kurt, you want to tell us about it?
This comes to us from our friend Matt Vito, who is a journalist. He teaches journalism at an institution of higher education, believe it or not. So very well written, a really great article. And it just talks about a story about a kid from Rock Island and his family. And I won't, you know, tell you all the details, but the gist of it is the boy Liam was pretty sick and couldn't figure out really what was wrong with him. They got in touch with the Cubs. The family's a big Cubs fans, and got to meet Joe Maddon, go into the office, kind of see behind the scenes, and so it's really like a really heart wrenching story. And I won't try to summarize it because you really do need to read it to kind of get the full gist of it. But also they'll be doing a fundraiser for him, and you can get the details in the post there, and there are links right in the blog post. So
that'll be up first thing Monday morning.
Yeah, so definitely go read it and support them any way you can. But also I think it sort of shows like how baseball can really touch people in need and do more than just entertain us.
Right. I think that the way that they first met Joe Maddon was that he did one of those early in the season. He did like where they visit a children's hospital or something. Mm-hmm. And that's where Liam was. And so that's kind of how the relationship or whatever started. So, but yeah, check it out. You know, anytime we can get Matt Vito to write a piece on the website, you know, it's a big deal for us. Right. He's like, oh, this guy knows how to write. Let's get him on there. And because, you know, it's a Quad City family, Quad City kid. And it's an interesting story, and, anything we can do to help them out. Yeah, tough stuff to go through.
It is.
Yeah. I can't imagine.
But in a good, you know, great article.
Right. We have some listener questions here. Let's start things off with a voicemail, and I'm going to play that right now.
Hi, it's Matthew from Justice, Illinois. 2 points that I've been thinking about. I saw earlier today on Facebook that they were saying, who is going to be the 2000th Cub? They have 1,999, and who do you think is going to be number 2,000? Also, I saw on TV a little while ago, there was something about a young girl, about 16 years old, who got basically signed into where professionals are looking at her. She's like 16 now or something like that. I was looking in Ken Burns' documentary on baseball, and he said it was like in the 1960s that everybody, all the owners in baseball and stuff like that, signed an agreement saying no one would ever be in professional baseball. What do you think about that? I don't know if a girl's arm of a pitcher will be able to pitch as fast. And as far as throwing, I don't know. I'm just saying that I don't know if women can compete on the same level as men. That's all I'm saying about that. I just don't think it would just be, I don't think any woman would be physically good enough to play. Let me know what you think, and I'll keep listening. Have a great day. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Wow. I think that, the U.S. Women's World Cup team just won today. And I think we're starting to see signs that women's athletics are coming along and advancing at a pretty encouraging rate. I mean, I wouldn't be at all surprised to eventually see a woman crack the majors. Would you guys?
I don't think so. I mean, I think it could happen. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
eventually.
See, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think there's probably going to be somebody at some point that's like, you know, a crafty pitcher with good location that she could start making us think about it. But I think the reality is the system and the infrastructure is in place to discourage that rather than encourage that. And I think that's probably less of a commentary on ability and more, you know, the reality of what they have to face, you know, like, they're not going to be as encouraged to play baseball. They'll play softball or whatever. So I'm not going to say it's not possible, but it does seem unlikely just based on the uphill battle they would have to face.
Well, and I think even obviously I think that it would be less common for a female to have just physically to be able to do some of the things that male baseball players do. But unfortunately, I think that even like, let's say this 16-year-old girl and she's a shortstop, or that's where she plays, I believe.
Yeah.
I watched that video on her.
Shortstop.
Yeah. And so it's like, okay, so say she's like the closest thing that in generations or something like that. Unfortunately, I don't think it's not like there's enough females where that issue will kind of like be pressed and will be like chipped away at over the years until that person does it. I think it's going to be so rare that someone will be able to, that they're not going to be able to crack in because there's going to be too many barriers. There's going to be too many people that don't want her there. There's, I don't know.
That's, you know, I concur with you to a certain extent. But I do think that, you know, though it might be a long time coming, there are more and more girls starting to play baseball at the lowest levels, all the time.
What was the name of that little leaguer who was really good?
Monet.
Yeah, Monet
Davis.
I mean, yeah.
So I think, you know, it could be a long time coming, but I think if that continues, it will kind of work its way up through the system.
And I think, right, I do agree that pitching is probably the most likely position.
That's what I was going
to
ask
you
guys.
Because you don't necessarily, I don't think you have to throw super hard. Like, what if she throws 85?
Yeah, but you kind of do have to. You kind of do have to, though, because there's players that have good location and fastballs like in the mid to upper 80s. And they're the ones that don't really crack the big leagues until they're like 28, 29, 30, yeah, you know, and like,
but don't you think that's what we'd see first? Like,
I don't really. I mean, don't you think it would be kind of a position player that maybe a position that requires some mobility or, you know,
maybe like second base where there's not like a huge offensive expectation?
Yeah. Could be.
I don't know.
I don't know. I guess at this point, I like seeing the issue come up and I like,
right,
seeing
me too,
pushed,
yeah.
And then I guess we'll just see what happens, but
I don't think that it's impossible. I mean, I think it's very likely that there are females that can play baseball as well as men baseball players. Not the elite levels. Like, I don't know if there's a female like Albert Pujols.
But there might be like a female Darwin Barney.
Right. Yeah. I think that's what I was trying to get at. There's no like Michelle Trout as far as I know.
I'm sure there is somewhere.
That's true.
Whether or not she's good at baseball, we don't know.
There is a there somewhere on the planet a Michelle Trout exists.
Oh man.
Why isn't she playing baseball?
And Matthew sent that voicemail in on Wednesday, so obviously now we know who the 20,000th player in Cubs history is.
And it would have been great if someone would have been able to predict it. You know, if I had to guess, I'd say Clayton Richard.
Yeah, well, I did guess it earlier this week. I made that prediction. I don't know how the name just kind of came to me.
Yeah,
Clayton.
I think you said Clayton Ricard, though.
Ricard, I did. Yeah. It was a little off.
So you're close.
Well, speaking of Andy, you predicting things, Paul, he just wanted to compliment you on your prediction for Wednesday's game. So if you didn't listen to that episode, we said that for Wednesday's Mets game, what was it? Two
couple
runs.
Hours before the game happened.
Right, two runs. We wanted two runs. Some magic
performance,
some magic and a great pitching performance. And so the Cubs scored two runs, the pitching staff pitched a shutout, and Chris Bryant somehow avoided a tag at third base. Oh, and it was
Rizzo.
Magic or yeah Rizzo, sorry, and it was magic.
And so, was that the magician game?
It was the day, no, because that's what the we game. Were talking about, we were talking about the magician stuff. So
it was the first game played after the magician thing.
Right. No, it was the second one, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But that's when the magic kind of finally manifested itself.
Right.
When it took hold.
Right. Or maybe that was, hey, I don't know.
Thanks, Paul.
We predicted.
No, I texted you guys that too, because I had listened to that episode like pretty close to before the game, and I was like, whoa. This, or maybe it was like right after the game, and I was pretty surprised. So
yeah, we rarely get things right, but when we do, we nail it.
Well, I love that you're saying we, Corey, because it was all Andy.
Hey, I pushed record. I edited the episode. Okay,
you served him that fastball that he hit out of the park.
That's right. Check. That's right.
You've been checked though and served.
Steven, he says, Steven on the north side here, I have a quick question about the bus trip. I live a short walk from Wrigley, and as much as hitchhiking to the DeKalb Oasis to meet up with you guys sounds awesome, it is a little out of the way. Will there be any opportunities for local people to join the meetup? I don't necessarily even mean getting a game ticket, through you, though that might work too. Just pre-gaming, grabbing a drink, etc. Thanks, go Cubbies. So I've had a few people from the Chicago area, like that live in Chicago, that would like to meet up with us before the game. We don't have any concrete plans yet, but we will do something. We're going to, I believe it's a 3 o'clock game. And so we're actually going to get up there quite a bit earlier than we typically do. Cause when we go for like a noon or 1 o'clock game, we don't have a whole lot of time to kind of like go around the neighborhood and stuff. So we're going to go up probably about the same time, get there, I would guess around 11 or so, and have decent amount of time to watch batting practice or whatever. But anyways, it is our bus trip is on August 8th. And so I'll be sharing details. So if you're interested in doing that, like I said, I've had a few other people contact me too, and we'll figure out somewhere to meet. Or if you're just in the neighborhood ahead of time and you want to send us a tweet, I'll let you know where we're at. But we do have a couple of tickets left for the bus trip, and I really want to get rid of them. And so there's a few people that have told me that they're interested in going, but they haven't bought their tickets yet. So maybe this will push them towards it. So what I'm going to do is if you're on the bus, and or if you're not, I guess, and you send someone our direction to go on the bus trip, then I will give you $25. It's like a referral. Ooh. Yeah, it's like a referral bonus. I really want to get rid of these things. And I think we have like 7 or 8 left, so not a ton, but I still want to get rid of them. I don't want to go up there with tickets in hand. Let's see, a different Paul here. He said, he lives in St. Louis. So another, he said he was listening to the last podcast, and Matt emailed, he lives in St. Louis. So Paul was saying he's a Cubs fan in St. Louis too. Just discovered the podcast in December. He said, sadly, I was at the game in Busch, and it's no fun being at a road stadium when the Cubs are being swept. My question is, what are your guys' thoughts on the Cubs bringing Hamill back out of the lengthy delay? I was a little surprised to see that, even with the worn out bullpen.
Yeah, well, I mean, Madden kind of commented on that he asked him how he was doing, and it made it seem like he really wanted to go back out there. It was probably one of those things where Madden went with how it felt to him and what he was hearing, and just ended up not being the right decision.
Yeah, I think you have to trust your pitcher. I think all pitchers are always going to say that they want to be in there. And I think I think that he knew either way, whether Hamill stayed in or not, he was going to have to use the bullpen quite a bit. And so if Hamill could give you just a little bit more, maybe that's one reliever that you don't need to use. So either a reliever that you feel like needs the rest, or maybe it's Edwin Jackson that you just don't want to put in there. So I think maybe that's what he was trying to do. And you know, I think over the course of a season, doing something like that for a guy like Hamill, saying that you trust him and let him go back in there, you know, that probably does something for like clubhouse morale and stuff like that too.
No doubt.
And he is a veteran, at least to the point where you hope he knows what he's doing. But
has Madden ever talked about trust before?
Seems like he maybe said something.
Okay.
Steven says, hi guys, just a couple quick comments and questions. Last weekend my wife and I were headed up to see the Cubs play the Twins on Saturday and Sunday. Had a great time. We were surprised that besides the bag check tables, everyone going into the stadium had to pass through metal detectors and even give up their cell phones to little dishes until they got cleared. Have you guys experienced that degree of security at other ballparks, or is that a new norm? Let's go with that one first.
You know, I've been to that ballpark, but it's been several years, and I don't remember that being the case.
Well, this is a new thing, I believe.
It could have happened, but I don't remember it. But I've never experienced that.
I believe that this year they have higher security at baseball games. I've only been to one game so far this season, and it was down at Minute Maid in Houston. And they did have metal detectors there, and I didn't have to put my phone and stuff into a dish, but I had to, like, they had me hold my cell phone above my head and go through. I think that's a new security thing, like league wide or you know, Major League Baseball wide, that they kind of increase security.
We did go to a game, my wife and I and our 2-year-old last year, and I had a backpack, you know, full of toddler stuff and at Wrigley and did not get the bag searched, which I was actually really surprised. They gave it a, like a tap, like, oh, yeah, okay, go ahead. So, yeah, it definitely wasn't to that degree.
Yeah. And then he says, you were talking about Castro in an earlier episode. I honestly believe that he has a mild case of attention deficit syndrome. It seems that his lack of concentration errors often occur later in the game rather than earlier. I was at a game a couple seasons ago and noticed that as the game went on, he seemed to be more distracted and saw him turn and look at the bleachers just as the ball was pitched. It scared the crap out of me for several reasons. If he's taking medications, perhaps they wear down or he hits low points during the time released medications. I really like Castro and hope he can work it out. Remember, Santo had significant medical issues through his career. And then says he was sorry. He was out of town when we did our meetup in Des Moines because they live just a couple of blocks from the ballpark. So
I suppose it's possible.
Yeah.
I mean, if it were, it'd make you feel bad about being too hard on him. But at the same time, you know, he has a job to do and the expectation is that he does it. So it's still frustrating, even if that is the case. But I don't know. I think we've all kind of come to terms with the fact that this is who he is and he fills this need right now. And yeah, and he's going to make these mistakes, and we're just going to have to live with them.
I work with people with disabilities. Sometimes I see things that Castro does, and it looks very familiar I'm saying, like, I work with a lot of students that have ADHD and stuff like that. But, you know, I think being an armchair quarterback or an armchair baseball manager is one thing, but an armchair physician diagnosing players is probably a little bit too far for me. I don't feel comfortable doing that. But I don't know. Castro obviously has some attention issues or he's easily distracted. I mean, just watch him play and you can kind of see that. But like we've been saying for the last 6 weeks, you know, you kind of take the good with the bad or take the bad with the good, whatever. Is he worth it? I think so. And I find it endearing. All right, this one comes from Will. He says, love the podcast. Just went with my girlfriend to the Mets Cubs game. It's clear the Mets are struggling offensively, but it looks like Hendricks has some really good or has some good stuff. His record is poor, but sabermetrically he's performing well. Today he was really dealing and struck out 6 in 6 innings. What do you guys think about him? Obviously the fifth starter spot is up for discussion, including trades. But I'd like to hope we've got 1 through 4 on the roster at this point. That's good enough from me. Your thoughts, guys?
What about if Hendricks were the number 5 starter instead of number 4? Wouldn't that be great?
Oh, I think he'd be a fantastic number 5.
That's kind of where I'm at. I'd like to see him as a number 5, which means the Cubs trading for maybe a number 3 or a number 4.
But yeah, he's playing. He's, you know, lately he's been pitching well. I like him. He's fun to watch because he's a different pitcher to watch than the guys that come before him. So,
and he's even kind of changing from what he was last year. Strikeouts are going up. He is giving up more home runs, though. He's giving up home runs at twice the rate that he did last year. But he'd be a really solid number 5 right now.
Yeah, for me, I think that one of the encouraging things for him is that he doesn't seem to pile up bad starts. So, like, we got worried about him in his last few. Like, you know, dates are blurring, but he had a couple of bad outings. But he seems to recover nicely for such a young pitcher, rather than just sort of falling apart in consecutive starts.
Yeah,
very composed.
Mm-hmm.
Nick says, hey guys, Rub-A-Dub Cub here. I'm going on vacation to Myrtle Beach in 2 weeks and I am planning on going to a game. What are the chances they call up Gleyber Torres to high A shortly, or is he more of a level a year kind of guy? He has another question, but let's address that one first.
I think, like, given his age, I think they could I think maybe he won't be called up shortly, although I wouldn't be crazy surprised to see it. And what do you guys think?
I kind of agree. Like, boy, I don't know much about him individually, but I do think that with these young kids, you do try to, consistency is good for them. Like, leave them at a level a little longer.
Yeah, I'm not sure when it's going to happen, but I think that we will see him promoted before the end of the season. Main reason is this: Myrtle Beach has already clinched a playoff spot, and I think this front office likes their top prospects to get playoff experience and a taste of what success looks and feels like, and the opportunity to experience that success. And so I think that he will get called up maybe, mid August or something like that. But I don't think it's going to happen.
You think about like an 18-year-old at high A, that does feel a bit aggressive. Warrants it, but right. Like, I just think it's, that's young.
Fast tracking. Yeah.
Yeah. Him getting called up, though, I mean, he's going to be there to start next year. It's not like he's going to go up, say they send him up in mid August. Doesn't matter how well he plays. He's not starting 2016 in Tennessee.
Right.
So I don't know. I think we will see him just because I think they'll want him to get that experience.
That's probably a good point.
Nick's second thing here, he says, I'm concerned about Bryant's day and night splits as of 6:30, so about a week ago. He's batting .226 with two homers and an OPS of .710 in 24 day games, and .301 with eight homers and an OPS of .917 in 43 night games. I know it's a small sample size, but something to keep an eye on going forward.
Grand Slam came during a day game, didn't it? That was a day game, wasn't it?
Yeah. No, that was a night game.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yes.
It was just early in the game. It was a second inning.
Yeah. So how does he do it? Like, well, about 7th? Sort of
came during the day. he rocked it in the first two innings.
Right, so the sun wasn't, yet.
He maybe's on to something. He likes the... Oh, wait, that's the opposite.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's turned it around.
So he's fixed he likes the daytime now.
It's hard to like really give much credence to that yet, until he has a lot more games under his belt.
Well, and I mean, I don't know much about college baseball, but it's possible that he hasn't really played many day games. I would assume that most college games are probably in the evening, and most minor league games are in the evenings, except for the Sunday ones usually. So it's possible that he's just more used to playing under the lights, and maybe that has an effect on your ability to like pick up a pitch and, look at the spin of the stitches and know what's coming at you and stuff like that.
What you're missing is the fact that, and I've learned, one thing I've learned from Instagram is that Chris Bryant is an alcoholic.
Right.
And
I knew it was going to go there.
Day games are hard for him because he's really drunk or he's at least hungover.
Yeah.
Have to give him a little time.
I'll tell you what.
Because he's a drunk.
When I get hungover, I do not look as good as he does. If he's hungover, he is a really good looking hungover guy.
Yeah.
There's very little sparkle in my eyes after an evening of drinking. Adam from Knoxville, Tennessee says, I'm looking for a bake where I won't strike out. Any suggestions?
23rd Second Old Bank. I think that's what it's called.
Well, there's a 5th, 3rd, 3 in there too.
Right. I think
it's called Old Second.
.net .biz .biz bank would be worse.
Ed says, with the Cubs lacking in starting pitching, are the Cubs regretting not offering more to get James Shields?
I don't think so, given next year's free agent class.
Yeah, that's what I think too. And I don't know if they're lacking in starting pitching. They have the 6th best WAR in baseball. Their rotation does. sixth best WAR, or no, that's total pitching, I think. But anyways, the staff has a sixth best WAR in baseball and the fifth best FIP. And to me, that just doesn't spell a team that's lacking in starting pitching.
Well, and plus it's all kind of part of the, I don't know, the ramping it up, part of the plan, you know. I mean, they knew that the young players were going to be young this year, and so let's start to, I don't know, bring in more as these younger players progress. You know, if it would have made sense and they would have been able to get him for the right price, then sure, but it wasn't worth it for this particular point on their journey towards success to overpay for Shields.
Right.
Yeah, and I think it's easier to make these kind of, or ask these kind of questions when you've kind of outperformed expectations, I mean, like they have, than when maybe they're where we had pegged them a little, maybe closer to 500, and then you don't ask these questions. But now when you're like, you kind of see the light, you think, man, if we had Shields, we'd just be that much better. And so I think,
but
you know, that's a good thing.
Right.
You know, that we're good enough to ask these questions, I guess is what I'm getting at. You know, we're good enough to say, well, this guy could have put us at, you know, contending with the Cardinals, maybe not, but or closer to it. Whereas if you're just performing to what we had been saying in spring training, maybe squeaking out a wild card, which is where they are, but still, I think we'd all say they're outperforming expectations.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was saying 500.
Right.
And or a little, I think I said 83 or
yeah.
wins or something. I think we said
like ceiling is wild card and
right.
and we expect kind of 500 baseball. So.
Right.
But yeah, like I said, so I think this is a good spot to be in where you're like, man, what if we would have got Shields?
But this is a front office that has really proven themselves when it comes to trades. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, like Andy and I were just on the anniversary of the Jeff Samardzija trade that brought over Addison Russell. You know, we're just kind of like, man, it's amazing that the Cubs got Addison Russell for like a year and two months, and all the A's kept him. Samardzija for was two months of Samardzija and in 2 months of Hamill.
Look at what just happened. They saw a clause in a contract for a guy named Clayton Richard, who had an upward mobility clause, and they said, look, we need a guy to make a start, and all they had to give up was cash.
Right.
They didn't give up anything for him, and look, he won that game. So, like, whatever they paid for Clayton Richard to start that game was worth that cash.
Right, yeah.
You know, it's like, so moves like that, one win is important at this point. And so, you know, it's like even these little moves with guys like this, that it's impressive that you've got people that know these things and they're like, look, we got to take a flyer on this guy and he's going to make a start and he's going to get us a win. And then it happens. It's pretty impressive, even on the smaller scale than Addison Russell.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I just feel like I feel really confident in this front office to be able mm-hmm. to make the deals that they need to make to be positioned well heading into the postseason. If that's where they're at, you know, I don't think they're content. I mean, I'm not sure.
They'll deal without selling out.
Right. Yeah. The last question here comes from Bobby. He said, with all the divisive talk about Starlin Castro, it must be noted that it seems he's been coming up with more game-winning hits than any other player. So he basically asks us to compare Starlin Castro to former Cubs and other well-known players in kind of, I guess, putting aside the polarizing emotions that people have towards Castro and just look at the numbers and, you know, is he, I guess, clutch is what he's asking. So I saw that this season, 25% of Castro's RBIs are game-winning RBIs this season. And
that's
tied for sixth in baseball. And so That's not like a walk-off RBI or necessarily, you know, anything in the ninth inning. It's basically an RBI that was the difference in the game. Does that make sense? So if you lose 5-3, his was the RBI that scored the fourth run or whatever. That was the eventual game-winning RBI. And it does feel like he gets in those situations pretty often. So I can't really compare him to former Cubs. I mean, I did find that website that had that statistic and everything, but I wasn't able to go back and look throughout the years. I did look that he wasn't, it didn't happen quite as often. He didn't rank as highly in the last couple of years. And Fangraphs has, it's under the, if you're on Fangraphs, it's under the win probability little tab. They measure clutch. And I don't know a whole lot about that specific measurement or anything like that, but he does rank a lot higher this year than he has in other years of his years. Man, I don't really know where to go with this.
I think anecdotally, yeah, it seems like that's the case. That's all I can say.
Right. If you look at,
I didn't look up the numbers.
Yeah. If you look at the clutch in Fangraphs, he ranks pretty high this year. And so it probably, you know, it does seem like it's happening more often, but another player that seemed like they were always in those situations was somebody like, Aramis Ramirez. You know, it seemed like he was always hitting game winning home runs and game winning RBIs and stuff. And it seems like that it's stood out quite a bit this season. And I think even like, you know, maybe a month or 6 weeks ago on the podcast, Castro had hit a game winning RBI, a walk off. And I had mentioned that I was talking with my mom, and she mentioned to me that it didn't seem like when he came up in like kind of those clutch situations that he kind of struggled and he didn't come through in those. But it seems like here in the last like month and a half or so, or month, it seems like it's happening pretty frequently and that he's, doing that. But yeah, that's just all. I don't have any specifics to point to or anything like that. All right. So thanks to all of you that sent in those questions. I typically ask for them on Facebook and Twitter, but I get so many emailed me through the IVNV app that I didn't need to ask for them today, I guess, because I knew that we had enough. So if you have something that you'd really like to make sure that we talk about on the podcast, probably emailing me directly or doing it through the IVNV app or calling the voicemail through the IVNV app, or it's 309-517-0624. That's probably the best way to know that it'll get on there. Otherwise, if we don't have a ton by Sunday mornings, I usually ask for them on Facebook. So, Kurt, do you have a scary stat for us?
I do. And this is something we talked about quite a bit in the earlier in the episode about the offensive production. But we're 5 days into July, and the Cubs are 4-1, so that's an .800 winning percentage. However, they're only batting .186 with an on-base percentage of .280, and they have 17 RBI, and 6 of those came from Chris Bryant in that one game. So, you know, excluding that burst of performance, they're even lower than that offensively. But what's been winning these games has been the pitching, like we talked about. The team ERA in July is just 0.96, and they've only allowed 5 runs in those 5 games. So, yeah, they're winning it with pitching, not on offense. So, like we discussed pretty thoroughly earlier, it's kind of nice to see, you know, the expectation of this team being an offensive powerhouse, and when it's not, that the pitching can step up and win these games. So there's the numbers behind what we discussed earlier.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So, internet muscle flexes. Do you guys have any tonight?
I do. Yes.
I do. Yes. I better pull up my screenshot here.
How many do you guys have? I have 2.
Just one.
One.
Okay, how about I'll do one, we'll go around, and then I'll end on one.
Sounds good.
So this first one, mine both came from Cubs.com. I went old school today. This commenter said, we may have to scratch out runs for 2 months. In September, we'll have a full bench, plus Schwarber and Baez will be available. I don't know how many games we can win 1-0 and 2-1. We're not good enough defensively to do that. I think it's hysterical because that's all they're doing right now. So I don't know, not necessarily a muscle flex, but one of those comments that makes you shake your head.
Oh, I've got another one of those. And this actually comes from a real journalist. And I can't tell you the name because, all right, here's the backstory. So I have on my phone, I used to have the ESPN Score app, and it drove me so crazy I deleted it. And I went over to the CBS Sports app. I don't know why, just did. And they do these baseball power rankings. So I don't know who the author is. But the Cubs last week were ranked number 10. In the power rankings, which sounds pretty good, right? But in the little caption, the author this of CBS Sports says, "The future is bright for sure, but in the present, well, someone should do one of those Wikipedia updates where it lists the St. Louis Cardinals as team owners." And this isn't like a comment on a thing. It's like an actual...
Somebody got paid to write that.
Yeah, somebody got paid money to write that. And I
well
thought,
done, man.
Wow.
Yeah, but you know how sports, a lot of mainstream sports writers are. So, say the Cubs sweep the Cardinals in this upcoming series, then the whole narrative will be about, you know, get ready to hand over the division, Cardinals. The Cubs are coming at, the Cubs are knocking on your door.
Oh, I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, me too. Me too. All right, Andy, go ahead.
Yeah, sure. Mine is from Cubs Facebook, the new gold mine of muscle flexes. And the first commenter says, "Madden, spelled with an E, Madden, is one of the greater coaches of all time, taking Rays to World Series and always thinking outside the box. He thinks of the bigger picture, creating a lineup of players that can play multiple positions, implementing the shift, putting the pitcher in the eight spot. Sure, glad we have him on the Cubs. It will pay dividends when we make the playoffs." And then the next commenter says, "Madden is even better than whoever you're talking about." Madden with an O. And I know we've had flexes like that before, but I still... love it.
You love the correction flex.
Yep. Correction flexes are my faves.
All right. This last one here. This is one of those armchair front office guys, I guess, or armchair managers. He says, and you know, some good advice for Joe Madden. I'd like Joe Madden to have the guys race from the left field corner to the right. Home to first, first to second, second to third, one at a time. They get three shots to put up their best times. Then he gets his posse, Dave Martinez, to sit in the dugout with a stopwatch. The next time any of these guys doesn't run full out, the next time any of these guys doesn't run full out on the bases or in the field, fine them.
Wow. We've seen such a lack of effort this year.
Right.
I think there's a consultancy opportunity there. Yeah.
Right. I mean, if there is a way to improve clubhouse morale, it is finding your players for
yeah.
Not
via the Dave Martinez posse.
Oh man. Oh,
I love that they said posse and then named one person.
I know.
I mean, clearly there's a lot of those guys.
You know, that guy.
Oh, geez. All right. Well, that does it for this week's episode. This episode was brought to you by all of our Patreon supporters. A special thanks to our Hall of Fame contributors, Jeremy, Dave, Dizzle, David, Jeremy, Dallas, Charles, Stephen, Stewart, Guy, Peter, Jane, Shane, Michael, John, Andrew, Craig, Rick, and Luke. Our associate producers are Matthew Macer, Anthony Hutfuls, Joshua Hansen, Ryan Shores, Brian Hunt, Tim Marr, Jason in New Mexico, and the Quad City's own Jason Nunn. We'd like to thank Sarah Chamberlain from Chicago for jumping on the Patreon campaign. I followed Sarah on Twitter for a long time. Yeah, so I'm completely caught up with Patreon perks. I'm really excited about this. So you can...
Hey, let's make him not caught up anymore.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
And donate.
It's not good to not have anything on my Patreon to-do list. So it's time to, you know, give me things to mail out or give me reasons to mail things out. There we go. So if you have not received your Patreon stuff, you should get it in the next day or two. And then we're all caught up. Everybody's got their stuff. So if you would like to help keep this podcast going and get any of these perks that we're talking about, IVMV posters, pint glasses, stickers, all sorts of stuff, you can do that for as little as $1 a month. You can get things started there. And go to patreon.com/IVMV. That's patreon.com/IVMV. Also, if you would like an IVMV shirt, you can get those for $15 and go to IVMV.com/store. So as I mentioned earlier, the Cubs do have an important week coming up. They're playing the Cardinals, and that's important for the division race or what's left of it. And then they're playing a series that's important to anyone that knows people that are White Sox fans. The White Sox are coming to the North Side over the weekend, but Andy and I will be back on Wednesday night to talk about the Cardinals series. And until then, go Cubs!